Well, good morning again. I'm glad you're here today as we continue in our series. And I've already broke the mic, not broke it, but anyway, it's in the way. I was trying to get it out of the way. But we're going to continue this series on the solo life. But really, everything that we're talking about in this series applies to all of us, whether or not we're single or married, because we all need to have spiritual health, which is what we talked about last Sunday. And we all need sexual purity, no matter whether we're married or whether we're single. And that is very, very important. Today we're going to talk about healthy friendships and relationships. And next Sunday we're going to talk about significance. All of us need those things in our lives. But today we're talking about developing friendships, significant, more fulfilling, deeper, life-changing friendships, quality, intimate friendships, or something that all of us crave deep down inside of our souls. We all need them. And so this is not a singles versus a marriage or a married issue. Friendship is a life issue. It is significant. And isn't it true that not just in friendships, but in life in general, contentment seems to be very elusive at times? And I really believe the good news of this message today is one of the building blocks to contentment, to develop deep, authentic, genuine friendships. And I want to create two friendship type scenarios for you because in my mind I'm picturing two or three different kinds of walkers. And I want you to picture these scenarios. I want to set this message up with this. And if you're not a walker, and you may not identify with this, but there's been times in my life where I've been a walker, and my wife and daughters are walkers. And picture, first of all, in your mind, this person that walks so fast that if you were to get beside them, you would have to trot. You would have to kind of jog just a little bit to stay beside them. They're just walking so fast. They got that look on their face like zippity-doo-dah, you know, and it's just wonderful, and they are really working out. And so this first walker is making their way around the track, and it's just sort of like the Jeff Gordon racing team or something like that. They're going so fast. And then the second kind of walker that I want you to picture in your mind is kind of the way that I walk lately, and that is you're just kind of not really, you know, speeding around the track, but you're just strolling along, enjoying the morning or enjoying the outdoors, and you're seeing every tree on or every leaf on every tree, and you're looking at the sunrise, and you're just enjoying it, and you're walking around the track, and that other person is going in the opposite direction. They're walking around this way and you're walking around that way. And so every now and then you all meet on that track and you say, "Hey man, how's it going?" And you just keep going. It's kind of just a superficial type of a meeting, a superficial type of, "Hey, how's it going?" And then picture in your mind the second scenario, something like this. Two friends that are walking together, but now they're walking at the same pace. And as they walk at the same pace, they're able to talk, and they're able to share and laugh. And usually they're laughing at the guy that's walking so fast in the opposite direction. But they're doing life together at the same pace, and they're not walking in circles anymore. They used to walk in circles, but they've chosen to change their track. They've chosen to change their priority. They are walking through the trails and the back roads of life, and they see the trees and the beauty of God's creation, and they see the wonder and the uniqueness of all of that. And they're walking up this mountain, and they're walking into the great Smoky Mountains, and they're just enjoying all of God's great creation. And the exercise and the destination are not so important to them now. That was just a journey. Now they do something together. They left what was human-made, and what's human-made looks nice, but it's not real. So to explore what has God made, and what has God made is sometimes wild. And sometimes the things that God has made, they can be dangerous, but beautiful and amazing because they were created by Almighty God. Now the sad thing is, I think many times in life, when it comes to friendships, not just in friendships, but a lot of things, but we're talking about friendships this morning, we're just walking in circles. And we're walking in circles with people we say that we're friends with them. But it's a superficial, it's slight kind of a relationship. There's not much connection there. And the incredible truth today, and I want to talk about today, is the amazing beauty, that there's amazing wonder, there's amazing richness, there's amazing depth that is just a few feet away, just a few choices away. And that's what I want to invite you to this morning, to a deeper, more meaningful friendship, and have those kinds of friendships in your life. Now, you can't have those kinds of friendships with everybody. You know, if we're going to try to be friends like that with everybody, it's just not possible. But we need some people in our lives, we need some friends in our lives where we have this deepness, this richness, this authenticity in our lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about, some of the things about friendships. Now, what do we know about friendships? First thing that we know about friendships is that it meets a universal need. Friends meet a universal need for us. And having that, from the time that you were very, very little, you understood that that need that you had in your life, and you wanted to be around friends. And there was that currency when you were a little child, there was that currency of the neighborhood to have friends. And I wanted the friend, my friend, I looked for friends that had the big yard where we could play football. And I looked for the friend that whose dad built that nice tree house across the street where we could go and enjoy that tree house. And I didn't look for the guy whose mother hung the bed sheets outside the window. I didn't look for that kind of friend, but I looked for the friend that had something to offer. I wanted the cool friend. When I was a little child, I wanted because I wanted to be cool too. But what about being a child? Every time you don't get your way, and maybe some children aren't this way, but I was this way as a child. Every time I didn't get my way, I wanted to take my football and go home. And I wanted to find a new best friend. And so that's the way it was as children. And then I became a teenager. And as teenagers, we are defined by our friends. We've got to have our friends, and it's so very, very important, because in adolescence, friendship is everything. Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to tell you the specific things that I did as a teenager, but unfortunately, I did some things with my friends when I was a teenager that I wouldn't have done. I'll just be honest with you, I wouldn't have done them if I'd have been by myself. But because I was around those friends and I wanted to fit in, I did some things that I didn't want to do by myself, but I did it with my friends because I wanted to fit in. And why do we do some of those things? We did it because the friends asked us to, and that friendship was so important. So you do stuff because of friends that you would never do in your entire life. Now, as we grow older, as we get into adulthood, friends still remain important. They are still important. We just become better at masking our need for deep, rich friendships. And we hide behind the busyness of our lives. Or we hide our need for friendship behind a career. But the hunger is still there. And that hunger still cries out deep down inside of our souls. Everybody in here wants a deeper connection with others. We need that connection. It is a basic need that God has put inside of us. And that is why we need it. It is that universal need. Second thing that we know about friendship, not only is it a universal need, but we know that bad friendships lead to pain. And we're not going to spend a lot of time here because everybody is acquainted with this. Probably not, you know, from the youngest to the oldest. We're acquainted with how bad friendships have caused us pain. And friendships go sour and they hurt. Even good friendships visit pain, but the bad ones will always head there. And when your friendships are broken and they're not minor and they're not quickly resolved, and when friendships end, you begin to think, what's wrong with me? And you feel used and lonely and abandoned and scared and unimportant and disappointed. And that pain leads to bitterness, and that bitterness sabotages other friendships and your relating efforts, and that relational pain keeps you from living life the way God intended it to be lived. Now that's enough on pain. Let's move on. The next thing that we know about friendship is that good friendships provide a depth of richness. They provide a depth of richness. And this is what we're talking about today. Rich friendships provide a place to love, a place to grow, a place to change, a place to laugh, and a place to cry at times together. And so a biblical illustration of this rich type of friendship is found in the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Samuel. Don't turn there. I'm going to read this verse to you. But David and Jonathan had to be the best. They had the best of friendships. And you talk about a rich, deep, authentic friendship. David and Jonathan had it. And this was the least likely place to have a friendship. David and Jonathan were on opposite sides in essence because Jonathan was the son of Saul, who was the king at that time. But David had already been anointed by God, by Samuel, God's prophet, that David was going to be the next king. And so this was an unlikely friendship, but they put that all of that aside and they became deep, rich friends instead of enemies. Now I'm reading what David said at Jonathan's funeral. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, here's what David said: "How I weep for you, my brother, Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you, and your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of women." Now, could it be possible that a friendship could be so deep that it could be deeper than marriage? Evidently, David thought so. Evidently, David thought so. Friendships can be very, very rich. These words come alive and personal, and they provide us with something that money can't buy, because friendships are very rich. And the only thing we know about developing friendships is this: developing a friendship, and I want you to write this in, developing a friendship isn't easy. And I put an exclamation point after that in my notes, because it isn't easy. Why do we seem to have had our best friends when we, in the late childhood years? I think of the friend that I had when I was about 12 years old, and I still think about him. He's passed away now. But we stayed in touch with each other even after we had moved away to different towns, and we even went to visit Jerry Cooper, and went to visit him, and we stayed in touch. But at 12 years old, we were the best of friends. We played football in his yard together. He's the guy, you know, that I was talking about earlier. And we stayed friends. Why is it that our best friends seem to have been when we were that age? The reason is it's not easy to have friends. It's not easy. Why? Because you have to log in time. And you have to share experiences. And you have to take risks. And you have to share passions. And you have to encounter conflicts at times. You have to use tenderness. You have to burn up energy. You have to set yourself up to be known. Set yourself up to be hurt. Set yourself up to be wounded. Set yourself up to be broken. Plus, you have to help friends move. You know, that's never fun to have to help your friends move. No matter how much pizza they provide, it's still not fun. But your best of friends seem to have been when you were at that late childhood years. But we're wishing the next day that there was somebody in our life who knew everything about us. Now think about this. But they still loved us. They knew all of those warts. They knew the mistakes we've made, the failures we've had. They know the sins we've committed, but they still love us. That's the kind of friendship that we're looking for and we all long for. We want that. And the God of the Bible, I want to hasten to say this, the God of the Bible, the God of the universe. Have you ever taken the time to stop and think how huge this universe is? You know, we've got stars out there that are light years away. You know how far a light year is? You know how fast light travels? You ever think about this? How fast does light travel? Let's just stop here a minute. Think about the vastness of the universe. It travels at 186,000, is that right? Did I get the wrong number? 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. And we've got stars that are light years away. You know how far a light year is? It's up in the trillions. Trillions. And so we've got stars that are millions of light years away. Vastness of this universe, the God who created all of that. Now, the reason I set that up is I want you to try to understand this. This great God offers a personal friendship with each and every one of us. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. And so we're going to look at that today. And the reason we don't have friendships that are deep and those friendships that are authentic, that go along God's design, why isn't it working with our friendship with Him? And why aren't our friendships working with other people? It's because it's not easy to have that type of a friendship with God. It's not easy to have that type of a friendship with other people. So I want to talk a little bit about friendship direction, the direction that we get from the Word of God about friendship. And the first thing that the Bible tells us about developing friendships is that we must develop a healthy relationship with God. That is the first step, and that is the foundation. And if we don't get that, we will never have deep, rich, authentic relationships with anybody else. And I wonder how many people in here today would say that this is their primary friendship strategy. That when you think about having friends, when you think about having a genuine friend who loves you and who has, you have that rich relationship with them, I wonder how many of us could raise our hand and say that the first step in the strategy that I have in making friends is that I want to have a close friendship with God. How many of us could honestly do that? Don't raise your hand. But when you think about friends, do you really think about God first? And that you can develop friendships with other people because of that great friendship you have with Him. And when you think about friends, when you say, when somebody asks you, who is your friend? You think about people that are living your life with you or around you or near you. We really don't think about God. Because most of the time, if we were honest, when we think about God, we think about church. Well, God is in church. Well, yes, He is. He is here today, and we welcome Him to this place. We're glad that God is here, but He goes with us when we leave this place. And God, we think that God is about Sunday, but God is with us on Monday too, and all the rest of the days of the week. We think about God is about when I sit down at the dinner table and I invite Him to the dinner time, or God is about crises in my life. And many times we walk through life and we have a brief encounter with God, but we don't see God as our constant friend and our closest companion. As a result, what we've done is we've created a God view that is unbiblical. It really is. It is a figment of our imagination that God is unapproachable. That's what we think. We think that God is uninterested. We think that God is unavailable. We've created a stereotype of God. What we should be offended by is a God view that creates a God who doesn't have any time for us, who's not interested in us. And the truth of the Bible and what the Bible teaches from cover to cover, what many of you have sensed in your spirit as God has invaded your life, is that God does have time for you and for me and for each one of us. He longs for a deep friendship with each one of us. The deeper that friendship is, the more we have to offer other people. God wants a friendship with us. Now, you can look on your outline, or if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 5, or just look on the outline. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5, a couple of verses here, verses 10 and 11. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. I just got to ask you, underline that. Friends of God. Underline. Friends of God. The author and the creator of this vast universe knows everything about me. He knows my name. He knows my wickedness. And he's still my friend. That is a powerful truth. But unfortunately, for many of us, it is not a personal truth. That I'm a friend of God. How much do you think about that? When was the last time you thought about that? That you are a friend of God. That what would my life be like if I so allowed God to invade me? And I actually believed that he was my friend. How would that change the way I live my life? I can tell you one thing. It would change the way I live my life. If I actually believed that and lived that out. Think about it this way. Suppose you're invited to a party tonight. And you go to that party. And you know what parties are like. Everybody wants to tell what they've been doing, you know. When you talk to somebody, there's posturing, there's what do you know, and or who do you know, and where do you live, and all kinds of stuff like that. Imagine somebody comes up to you and says, who'd you come to this party with? Who came with you? Imagine if you said, God. God came with me to this party. And you ask them, well, who did you come with? Who did you know? Well, like, you know, I met Ted Turner once. You know? Oh, isn't that interesting? Well, God wrote a love letter to Ted Turner. Did you know that God wrote a love letter to each one of us? And he wrote to Ted Turner that all of the wealth that he has is just a penny to God. And I brought God with me to this party. Who else do you know? Oh, that person says, well, I live next to Bo Cephas, Hank Williams Jr. And so you say, well, that's interesting. You see, I'm friends with God who created Bo Cephas. He created Hank Williams Jr. And behind that whole media circus is my friend God wanting to invade Hank's life and offer him forgiveness and take over center stage so that Hank doesn't have to depend on his fame, his fortune, his charisma, his millions of dollars. But the very presence of God is inviting Hank into friendship. Isn't that cool that my friend God wants to do that? Who else do you know? Who else do you know? You know, if you do that, you'd probably never be invited back. In fact, you might not get to stay to the end of that party. But wouldn't that be interesting? I'm friends with God. I'm friends with God. That'd make a great bumper sticker. I want to say to those of you in here today who are Christians, that term friends of God, if that's not putting a little wow in your heart right now, you may be dead. You might be dead spiritually. To think, and that is a deep, deep truth that I'm thrilled to surround it with a little bit of laughter and to know that God is there in my heart and I want him in my life because I want to be humble before the Lord and humble myself under the mighty hand of God. But if you're a believer, it ought to put some wow in your heart and in your mind and in your life. Now, if you're not a believer, probably it's not putting a wow in your life, but it's probably putting a huh? Really? That is pretty interesting. That God wants to be my friend. The God of the universe who created you wants that relationship with you. He's not distant and he's not uninvolved and he's not uncaring. But he is a personal God and he wants to invite you to something deeper and he wants to walk with you in a way that will change you from the inside out so that you will relate to others in deeper ways and he is inviting you to that. Look at this next verse, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is the one who invited you into this wonderful friendship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, last time we talked about how God has called us, and you literally could translate that from the original language into invited. And God has invited, he has called us into friendship with him, and he has invited us into this wonderful friendship with his son, Jesus Christ. And he invites you today, and if you don't know him, he invites you to know him. And if you do know him, he invites you to a deeper life with him. And if you've already taken him up on that deeper life, he invites you to express that to others. And that is the next thing about developing friendships. First, you develop a healthy friendship with God, and then the second thing, you express what you have received from God. You express what you receive from God. That means to make, you know, that begins to make sense. You develop that relationship with God, you accept that, you live it out, and then you express it. It's about giving it and giving it away. You give to others what you receive from God. And some of you say, okay, George, let me understand that. Help me to understand that. What do I receive back from God? Well, look at John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus is speaking in these verses. Jesus said, I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here's how you measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. Now, what do you think of when he says, lay down your life? You got to die. You got to sacrifice. You lay down your life for your friend. Now we're going from big to small. And I want to get very practical here. How do you express love to others like Jesus loves you without going to your grave immediately? What does he mean by laying down your life and sacrificing? How do you sacrifice? You've got to sacrifice in those friendships. If you want healthy friendships, there has to be sacrifice. Because friendships require and demand it. Now, here's kind of the takeaway question I really hope that will haunt you the rest of this week. Or really haunt you until you get to the place. What or where is your sacrifice? Where is your sacrifice? Most of us want deeper friendships. But where is your sacrifice? Where are you sacrificing? And some of you say, I still don't get it yet, Pastor. You got to unpack it a little bit. Let me give you a few things that I think you need to sacrifice. We, first of all, need to sacrifice the urge to be superficial. We need to sacrifice the urge to be superficial. We've got to fight superficial friendship instinct. So when you talk to a friend, you don't just stay there with one word answers. You dig a little deeper and you try to think, how can I engage that person so they might open up their heart a little bit and expose a little bit more of who they are? And when they do, I can express God's love back to them. What is one thing we can do? We've killed a phrase, and I've used this phrase already this morning. I'm just as guilty as anybody. But we've killed this phrase, how you doing? All it requires is a one-word answer. Fine. Okay. That's normally what we say. But deep down inside, what's really happening is our heart's breaking over something. Or something is going on in our life. Or you walk up to somebody. This is such a cliche that if you ever tried this, you know, you're walking up and somebody expects you to say, how you doing? And you say, hi. And they say, fine. You're not supposed to say fine to hi. You say hi back. But it's such a cliche that that's how we do it. And so what if you ask somebody how they're doing and you really pull it out from them and you ask them what's going on in your life? And we have got to fight that superficial friendship instinct. So when you talk to a friend, you don't just stay there for a one-word answer. You dig a little deeper. And you've got to do that and sacrifice. That's the first thing. It's easy to be superficial. You got to sacrifice that. Another thing that we have to sacrifice. We're going to lay down our lives for our friends. And we're going to love our friends like Jesus loved our friends. You got to sacrifice time. Not just that urge to be superficial in the friendship, but that urge to not give much time to it. You've got to sacrifice time. You can't get this depth, this exploration, this walking into the wilderness and the force of God's design without taking time. Buzzing around the track doesn't take much time. Exploring, going deep does take time. And so you've got to get involved in other people's lives. And Big Spring Baptist Church has means where you can do that. You need other people in your life. And you need to spend time with the people here at Big Spring Baptist Church. Now, we give you time here in this service to do that, but we don't really get any back and forth much. Sunday school is a great place to do that. That is a great place. And if you're not coming to Sunday school, if you don't have that class, you're missing out. You're missing out on one of the places where you can spend some time with others and get involved with them. Now, let me talk to the men for a second, because I'm a man and I can talk to the men because I know how men are. Men, you know what we got to sacrifice? We've got to sacrifice our pride. Because so many of us men, we have no friends. We've got a lot of acquaintances, a lot of people, we know their name. We play golf with them, we play tennis or whatever we do with them, but we have no friends. As a matter of fact, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've been a pastor long enough to bury people who died with no friends. Man, we've got to sacrifice our pride. And some of you in here can imagine going up to a guy that you've connected with and you know that there's something there, and you could go deeper and you say, I don't know how to do this friendship thing, but I know that there's got to be more to life than this. Can you and I get together and have coffee or something? Some of you are like, well, no way. I'll tithe more. I'll get rid of my remote control, but I'm not going to do that. Not a chance. There's some of you guys that are that way. And that's one of the other things we've got to sacrifice is our pride. And this works for women just as much. If you want to take a relationship to the next level, you admit a fault, you admit failure, you share something you're struggling with. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I'm eager to encourage you in your faith. He's speaking to the church at Rome. I'm eager to encourage you in your faith, but also I want to be encouraged by your faith. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to the other. Underline that. Each of us will be a blessing to the other. Here's the summary. You develop that deep, close friendship with God. And the deeper that goes, the more you have to offer others. And so you express that to others. You express that sacrifice, the sacrifice of being superficial, the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of pride. And the truth is, Christians should have the deepest, most fulfilling, the most powerful, life-altering, witness-producing friendships on the face of the planet. Why should we have that kind of friendships? Because they require sacrifice. And Christians of all people, we understand sacrifice. We understand that. If you're a Christian and you put your faith in Jesus, you have put your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's what we cling to. When Jesus hung on the cross, He hung on the cross as a sacrifice so that He could restore us to God and bring us back to God. And that's what we put our faith in. We understand sacrifice. That's what deep, rich friendships will take. That's how come we can be a friend of God, because of what Jesus did, the sacrifice that He made for us. Now, if you're not a friend of God today, you can become a friend of God right now. You don't even have to wait for the invitation. You can become a friend of God right where you are. You don't have to go through any classes or anything else. You don't have to fill out any forms. All you have to do is say, right now, Jesus, come into my life. I invite you to come into my life. As best you know how, just invite Him into your life. And the Bible says that He is right there inviting you into friendship. And you just say, God, as much as I understand, I want to start a friendship with you. Would you come in and invade my life? The words are not so as important as your attitude. And if your attitude is, Jesus, I've tried everything else, none of it works. There is no contentment in my life. There's no satisfaction in my life. There's no joy in my life. And Jesus Christ, I believe that you will provide all of those things that I need so desperately. Please come into my life. I want to be friends with you. And would you be my Savior? And would you be my Lord? Now here's the last fill-in in your notes. I want you to write this in. The depths of my sacrifice will determine the quality of my friendships. Now that's a lot to think about. And I know that most of us in here want to leave the circle of superficiality. We really want to leave that. And we want to explore the depth and the richness that God has designed for us to live, and not to live alone, but to live together as the family of God. Let's bow together as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for what you've done for each and every one of us here today. And yes, Lord, you've done it for all the people outside these walls, but help us, Lord, to concentrate right in here this morning and concentrate on ourselves, what you've done for us, especially, Lord, for those who've never responded to that great sacrifice that you made on the cross. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now they would have a life-changing experience by inviting you into their lives. Father, I pray for Christians who want to go deeper with you and want to have deeper, richer friendships and relationships in their lives. I pray, Father, that we would make that commitment right now and say, Lord Jesus, you've been there all the time. I want you to be my best friend, and therefore I'll have love. I'll have love to express and to give away. Lord, whatever it is you want to do in our hearts, we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing a song of invitation. As we sing, we're going to ask those who are going to be praying this morning to come forward and to pray, to be at the altar praying during this time of invitation.
from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raises life up from the dead.
If you would come forward. If you are